Welcome to WEEM Weekly, a podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM. You can find this podcast at 91.7WEEM.org or anywhere that podcasts can be found.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Parker Dean, and today I'm sitting down with Tom Clark, who is a PBA Tour commissioner. And so what is the PBA? We'll start off with that question.
PBA. Hi, it's nice to talk to you, by the way. Great to be here.
Yes, thank you.
The PBA is the Professional Bowlers Association, and it was founded in 1958 when bowling on television had become very popular in different forms, game shows, trick shows, championship bowling shows, and there were a lot of bowling tournaments around the country at the time. And so the best bowlers got together and they started something called the PBA so that they could have a regular tour of events. And then the next step was to get those, the finals of those events on television. And so since the inception of the PBA, it's been a successful television property and professional sport all the way until now, 2023. And it's really defined the greatest players in the game of bowling. And it's held the greatest events in bowling, and it has the biggest reach for any aspect of the sport of bowling. So it's really important for a game that we all love, and it creates great moments and great history.
Yes, I personally enjoy the PBA. Last year, I went and watched the U.S. Open in downtown Indy at Woodland Bowl. And so it was definitely a really good crowd. I mean, personally, I've been bowling for years, so just having that crowd of all the same interest were really good. I like the atmosphere. But how do you stay connected to what's going on in the PBA if somebody was wanting to start watching the PBA and stay connected?
Well, you know, there's so many different ways now to know what's going on, from social media, from every single, you know, social media. You know, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Instagram, our YouTube channel is fantastic now, a great way to stay in touch. And then, of course, PBA.com, our website. Our main media partners are Fox Sports and CBS Sports, and so we do a lot with them. And we do live streaming of events with Bowl TV. So there's a lot of different touch points. And once you become a fan and sign up for regular emails, you become part of our database, and you get constant reminders when we're on, when our tournaments are coming up. And so there's a lot of different touch points along the entire PBA network for fans and bowlers to stay in touch.
Yes, it's definitely, I personally enjoy the YouTube channel, especially like the Friday Five. It gives like a brief, I like the history part of it, especially that way. But how did you land in, like, the PBA commissioner role?
So I've been the commissioner since 2011, and I was with the PBA since 2008. And I started as the chief operating officer with the PBA in 2008. But before that, for about 3 years, I worked at the United States Bowling Congress, which is the governing body of the sport of bowling. Which would be similar to in golf would be the USGA, the governing body, and then the PGA Tour, the professional golfers. And so I went from the governing body to the professional side. Prior to that, I had worked in journalism and in media, and I worked for 5 years at USA Today as an editor, sports editor, and worked really closely with golf and tennis and the NFL and at the time, USA Today was the number one sports page in the country and the number one circulated newspaper. And so it was really the work we were doing and the contacts, you know, were really important for me. And before that, I had started my own sports paper. I worked at other smaller newspapers. So I was really involved with media. But when I was in college, back in 87 to 91 and 87 to 92 or so, it was basically my two majors were journalism and bowling. You know, I bowled on the school team. I went to school in Buffalo to bowl because it's a great bowling hotbed. I was originally from Syracuse, New York, which is also another bowling hotbed. And so I bowled my whole life and loved the game, you know, and I also loved sports and sports writing and sports journalism. And so I just advanced in those two tracks, and they both led me, you know, to this position. You know, when I was at USA Today, and this is good for younger kids to hear, you know, my main job, because bowling wasn't a tier one sport, was golf, tennis, the NFL. But on my own, I went to the USA Today editors, and usatoday.com had just been getting going. And I said, you know, I don't have a lot of interest and a lot of expertise in bowling, and I'd like to write a column for the website about bowling. It won't take up any space in the paper. There's unlimited space online. And this is still at the advent of the internet back in 2000. And they said, okay, you know, if you just want to do it for, you know, I wasn't even paid for it. I did it because I cared about it and wanted respect for bowling. And so I would write that column, and most of those pieces had advice for bowling or ideas for bowling or criticisms of bowling. And but I was careful to make sure to talk to all the important people in bowling before saying any of those things. And that column became popular. And then people with the United States Bowling Congress and the PBA, you know, started contacting me about, why don't you come work in bowling? And maybe we'll try to get some of these things done. So finally, one day I took them up on that in 2005, went to the USBC, and worked really intensely on getting more popularity for the game. And I think the PBA Tour at the time thought that was a strength that would work better with the PBA. So they brought me over. And so I've been there ever since. And, you know, so it's really being able to blend a couple of my passions, which is bowling, the sport, and media and coverage and events and fans and reaching people. And so I've been able to combine both of those two things.
Yes, you pointed out that the media and journalism has got you into the PBA Tour commissioner role. So what is your task in this job?
I'm sorry, did you say task?
Yes.
Well, to get, you know, really, I look at it like fans are the most important thing in a professional sport. And that has, and if you have more fans, you have more potential for revenue that will go back into the game and make the sport and elevate the sport. So, you know, I want to engage as many people as possible, either through television or in person on at sites or in social media, and get them addicted to the game, get them to know the players, and then they'll want to watch more. And now you can take the passionate fans and the number of people that are engaging with the sport to prospective sponsors, and you can take it to prospective media partners. And the more people you have engaged, the more valuable your sport is, the more money that you'll make, then the prize money can increase for the bowlers, and the number of people that will be attracted to it will increase. So it all goes like that. It's like a wheel of trying to do the right thing first and build and build and build.
Yes, that is definitely a great thing to have, is a bunch of fans, because I know the PBA US Open for this year sold out already, and I was quite amazed, because last year there was a lot of people. I mean, I waited in line for a minute, but it's a lot of people in that, like, to watch the tournament. But talking about tournaments, what's your, like, favorite tournament or event to watch within bowling, especially on the PBA Tour?
Well, I kind of have two, because my favorite one my whole life as a kid, as a fan of the PBA, and still the one that gets me most excited when I go, is the Tournament of Champions. And the PBA Tournament of Champions, it used to be called the Firestone back in the day. And it was the last tournament of the year on the ABC TV schedule, and all the best players were there, and it just felt the biggest. And it was in this classic venue in Ohio where the PBA was started. And then when I came to the PBA a few years ago, we were able to bring the Tournament of Champions back into that same building, Riviera Lane in Akron, Ohio. And so you walk in that building and you can sense the ghosts, the greats of the game, Dick Weber and Earl Anthony, and Marshall Holman and Mark Roth. And you can feel them in that building because of all the great moments that happened there. And now to bring the new players there it just brings together all the things that are great about the PBA, and it's all the champions. So I love the Tournament of Champions. But over the last, you know, now it's been since 2008, 2009 when I started, the event that I really started is called the World Series of Bowling. And there's multiple events in a couple weeks, and there's people from all over the world, the best bowlers in the world, apply and try to bowl in this tournament. And it's where many international players made their name. And I have a lot of pride in that event. And over the last few years on Fox TV, we've been able to go live with championship events from the PBA World Series of Bowling on 4 or 5 consecutive days. And so it's an awesome week for fans. And I take a personal pride in it because we created that event back in 2009. And it's grown to be something every player looks forward to.
Yes, I love the, it's funny that you point that out with the World Series of Bowling, because I personally enjoy how the 5 days or 4 days of, it's just straight bowling, like just all the time. And so I always love to see all the, like the pros out there competing and just watching it overall, because it brings such a good energy. Like everyone's excited for it, especially like all the bowlers I know, like everybody's excited for the World Series of Bowling. And it's very interesting to me because, like you said, everybody from like the pros come around and bowl in this event. So it brings all the, like the pros like from all over the nation to that like tournament itself. So it's really like, it's really interesting.
Yeah. I love that event. And then the new one too, that we started back in 2013 is the PBA League. And this is the only team event in pro bowling. And so we have 10 teams that are just the best bowlers in the world on those teams. And we all go to a place called Bayside Bowl in Portland, Maine. And before this event, Maine had never even hosted a PBA event. So the fact that they now are known as the best fans in bowling and the wildest atmosphere, that makes that week also really, really special. We've been able to broadcast that event on consecutive days live as well as coming up this year in September. So that's another one, you know. But it comes down to every event can create its own identity and every event can deliver its great moments. And you never forget them. And the buildings that they're in, that they happen, the players that make them, the tournaments that do it, they all have that possibility.
Yes. The PBA League is such a great like event, especially when Norm Duke was there. That was like a highlight of that event, probably for me anyway. Yeah. I mean, it was like huge. And so it was great to watch. And overall, what pros would you say impressed you the most on tour?
Well, they all really impressed me, obviously. I mean, I love the game, and so to see people perform at that high level, I never get bored of. But, you know, I started 2008. Jason Belmonte was a rookie in 2009, and he's won the PBA Player of the Year Award 7 times since then, which ties the all-time record with Walter Ray Williams. So you have to be blown away by what he's been able to accomplish. And he's done it with a style that was so unique. And it's really inspired so many kids to bowl that way. And he's from Australia, so it grows the game around the world. So he's really been, without question, the defining player of this era. But there's so many other people that have come through. You know, of course, I love to see Pete Weber and Norm Duke, you know, bowl every chance I get. But the new guys like EJ Packett, I don't know that anyone's thrown the ball that naturally and awesome. Chris Prather is a player that his style is so perfect, and that you try to use his style to help kids get better at the game. It's such a classic, perfect style. He's so strong at the line and posts his shot, and is so accurate and precise that he's been somebody I've really enjoyed watching. And then you have guys like Kyle Troop, whose personalities are through the roof. Anthony Simonson is still only about 25 years old, and he's already broken a bunch of records, and I think he's going to break a bunch more before he's done. So we have a unique time in the history of the game where there's so many great young players, and there's still so many great players that are going to go into the Hall of Fame, like Sean Ratch, you know, or Bill O'Neill. I mean, they're still in their prime and can compete, and they're still out there.
Yes, especially like the younger age, like Anthony Simonson is a perfect example. just overall, seeing those people compete on the tour is such a special like moment for the bowling community, because it gives like the like younger ages hope. Now, talking about the like younger ages, the PBA junior events, I've seen on social media start to like get some ambassadors going. So what's your big goal, I guess, growing in the PBA junior?
Well, it's just to continue to connect the kids that are taking up the sport with the PBA. And it's been really successful really fast. And being able to make the national championship of the PBA junior be televised and have the players be able to bowl doubles with pro bowlers has been really a dream come true. Excuse me. We've had a vision of essentially like the little league of bowling, and that's what we were really growing here, and it's become really popular with regional events. We've partnered with great junior bowling tours around the country as satellite partners of the PBA Junior, so to see kids wearing the PBA Junior jerseys and compete at the highest level around the country and earn a trip to where they earn a trip to Riviera Lanes this year to bowl the national championship finals on Fox is really special. And we're just trying to get as many kids bowling as possible because they're the fans of the future.
That is so true. Especially for me, because I follow especially my age, I try to follow every single one I can just to stay involved in the bowling community. But you did come up with the PBA League Bowler National Championship, and I looked online and it said it's open to like all the bowlers that are interested. So give like details about that event.
Yeah, you're talking about a new program that is possible because the Bolero group purchased the PBA about 3 years ago. And because of their reach and the number of league bowlers that are in their bowling centers, in the Bolero bowling centers, and then being able to utilize the PBA branding as an umbrella to create a new league community of bowlers of all talents and skill levels, handicap, scratch, seniors, women, juniors, they're all under this umbrella now of a new organization called the PBA League Bowler Certification Program. And part of that program is a national championship event, and that they have priority entry in. But then anyone from any bowling center, not just Bolero, you don't have to be a PBA member or in a PBA league, anyone can bowl in this national championship. And it's taking place this year where I live in Milwaukee at Bolero Wauwatosa. And so we're anticipating a couple thousand people traveling to Milwaukee, bowling in all kinds of divisions. There is a pro top 50 pro bowler division, so you don't have to bowl against Belmo. He has his own division. And so it's really the first time that the PBA has run a tournament that's for all skill levels as opposed to just the greatest bowlers in the world. And it's really exciting. It's going to last most of the summer. If people have opportunities to come in and bowl. It's a singles tournament, but once they get to the event, you can opt in to doubles or team events. And it's going to be run a lot like a PBA event in that there will only be four bowlers on a pair, not bowling with big teams or anything like you see at state tournaments. It's only four on a pair, and every game they're going to move, and it's a six game block, and then you post your score, and at the end of the day, you see who wins. And the leaders of every division, we have several divisions, the winners of each one will come together for a TV show that we're going to do at Bayside Bowl in Portland with $100,000 prize fund. And it's going to be a shootout type of event. It's called The Clash. Maybe you've seen some of those formats. It'll be just like that, so everybody has a chance. Anything can happen in a Clash format. And I think it'll be really exciting. So, you know, it's the first year of it, so I hope people take part. Once they're part of it, they'll always want to come back, and it'll just become this regular event for bowlers to be associated with the PBA, but bowl at their own level.
Yes. They can get to bowl on their own level, like you said, and they don't have to bowl against Jason Belmo. And so It's interesting that you have. I was on Facebook, and a lot of bowlers have been freaking out about the urethane balls, which I personally, urethane is interesting in my opinion, but coming from like the PBA tour itself, just give it like an overall description of the urethane balls.
Yeah, well, I mean, one aspect of the PBA is rules and having to keep things fair for the greatest bowlers in the world. And one of the things, and for the game, and one of the aspects of rules is equipment specifications. And so we've always had different rules about, you know, it sounds funny to people who aren't involved with bowling, but the hardness of a bowling ball is really critical to the performance of a bowling ball. And the softer a ball, the more friction is created, the more hookability is there. The harder a ball, the less hook. That's why you see people use plastic balls for spares because they want it to go straight. And they use some of these other bowling balls that are softer for their first shots because they want the ball to hook more into the pin. So it's really interesting that in the history of the game, urethane balls have actually come back into being popular after being the evolution of the game back in the 80s led to urethane. But then reactive resin, they're called, became the bowling ball of choice from about 93 until today. And yet now, over the last 5 or 6 years, urethane has come back in vogue. And the reason for that is the amount of oil has changed. The way oil is put on the lane has changed. That's another thing the PBA is in charge of. And the bowling balls were being manufactured a little bit differently for urethane. And so the reason we had to have rules, or there's new rules, or that there's been any controversy, is that some of these balls, they start at the absolute lowest hardness that they can be. And for whatever reason, the chemical makeup of urethane bowling balls makes them lose their hardness. So if the number on a durometer measuring that's legal is 72, and the ball is 72 when it's in the box, but when it's used, it goes down to 68. That ball is now illegal, basically, in use. And the reason why we have to police that or pay attention to that is because if it gets soft enough where it becomes the prevalent ball of choice for a large field of professional bowlers, it impacts the oil pattern in a really dramatic way. It beats up the heads of the lane more than other bowling balls so that you can't lay down your ball in that area. And those types of balls carry oil down the lane. So if an oil pattern is only 40 feet long, after a couple games of these new urethane balls on that lane, that oil pattern becomes 44 feet long in certain spots, or 45 feet long. And so it really changes the game. It changes the overall dynamic. And so we just want to make sure that balls stay above a certain hardness and then still allow them in the game. And so it's an evolving process working with manufacturers and players, none of which are trying to cheat any kind of system. We just need to develop a system they can follow so that everything is fair across the board to both the game and everyone involved. So maybe by a little piece of what I just said, anyone listening to this that doesn't know anything about bowling says, wow, there's a lot involved with bowling. And that just scratches the surface, as you know.
Yes, especially like people I know that I'm like, oh yeah, so this like happened on the PBA, and they're like, huh? Like, I mean, there's a lot of details that go in to bowling, and it's really fun, and I'm hoping like it just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. Like, there are so many numerous bowlers out there. I mean, my grandpa still bowls. So, I mean, he's out there in a league two leagues every week. And so the sport of bowling is
extremely fun. Yes. I mean, it's fun to play. It's fun to be with friends and people that you get together with every week during a league. And just kind of, it's a great socializing sport. And then it's a sport that you can work on your game as much as you want to become better and better and better at it, you know, with practice. And so there's a lot of different ways to enjoy the game, and you don't have to be a pro to enjoy it, you know. And so, yeah, and I also think as a professional sport, and I love all sports, but I think it's one of the most exciting sports to watch because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's completely unscripted. It's completely random. what can happen. Someone can throw a perfect ball and get a bad break. Someone can throw a bad ball and get a good break. Someone can be just incredibly dominant while another player struggles. And it always, it usually comes down to that last few shots where a player's focus and a player's ability to handle pressure becomes the number one skill. And so it's a mental game. It's a physical game. It's really, really unpredictable. And so I think really fun to watch.
It is so fun to watch. But I'm so glad that we are able to have a conversation about the PBA and the pros and the PBA junior events and the National League tournament that's coming up. So I'm so glad that you were able to hold down an interview with me today.
Thank you very much. Good luck with your program. Good luck to the rest of the class. I think you showed a lot of initiative to reach out, and it was nice talking to you.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Parker Dean, and I'm so glad that you were able to listen to me and Tom Clark, who is the PBA Tour Commissioner.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found. Thank you.